The world is evolving at a faster pace than ever before. And as we begin the path to recovery after worldwide disruption, this podcast explores how the design industries can adapt to changing expectations and create a better future for both your businesses and your consumers. I'm Bethan Ryder, Executive Editorial Director here at WGSN. You're listening to Create Tomorrow, the WGSN podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Pettastic, or should that be our Pet Sounds, Create Tomorrow podcast, in which we'll be exploring how the COVID-19 pandemic has created a pet boom, with humankind across the globe seeking solace, affection and touch from furry friends, most commonly dogs and cats, although I do hear that hamster purchasing is on the rise in Singapore too. Back in November 2020, we published a report tracking this recent rise in pet ownership. In the US, 69% of consumers own an animal and 37% have adopted one in the last 6 months, according to the Bank of America. The Washington Post reported that by mid-July, shelters, non-profit rescues, private breeders and pet stores all reported more consumer demand than there were dogs and puppies to fill it. In Australia, The Guardian reported a dog drought, with rescue shelters empty due to a surge in demand. And in the UK, 2.2 million dogs were bought last year and 3 million pets were bought overall. Japan saw a 15% increase in dog and cat ownership between 2019 and 2020, and China is now home to 99 million pet dogs and cats. According to Robeco, the global pet market will continue to grow and by nearly 5% by 2025, with the luxury pet arena seeing the most rapid growth in APAC countries, and Gen Z and millennials opting for premium goods, foods and grooming services to indulge their pets. So joining me today to explore this consumer behaviour and love of pets and what it means for brands are my esteemed colleagues and fellow pet owners themselves. We've got Director of Insight, Andrea Bell. Andrea, you're calling in from LA, I believe, where you're surrounded by animals, right?
Yes. Hi, Bethan. Thanks for having me. I'm not only surrounded by animals, I'm surrounded by a heat wave. So it's about 105. And please forgive me if you hear any banging. It might not be my dog, Penelope. It might actually be the air conditioned repairman. So we will get through it.
And so you have a dog. Any other pets?
I have a dog named Penelope who is fantastic. And then on our little ranch, we have about 15 horses. And then our fun feral friends are coyotes, bobcats, mountain lions, kind of anything you can imagine for Southern California, all within a little ranch.
Great. Well, I think Claire probably a little less, a bit more tame in London, right, Claire? You're our head of beauty and you're queen of the pet pun. So you have two pets, I believe.
Yes, and I feel I should say it's pawsome to be here after that intro. But yeah, I have two cats, one who is with me, so Stan, who is 18 years old. So if you hear strange yowling, that will be Stan. And then I also have Vera, who is my lockdown kitten, who will no doubt be outside trying to catch the squirrel that lives in the tree outside. That's her main hobby at the moment. So yeah, that's me.
I've got a nice picture there in my head. And we've got Laura Saunter, our senior strategist on Insight, with a particular focus on retail. And I think, Laura, you also have a lockdown dog like myself. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I do. I have a pandemic puppy whose name is Piper. That's very alliterative. And she's a Hungarian Vizsla, which is also known as a Velcro dog because they just love to be stuck to you like Velcro. So if you hear any crying, it's probably because I've closed the door to her and she's desperate to come in and lie with mummy.
Ah, yeah, I know that. I have a cockapoo called Winona Ryder, obviously, who is similar, but I'd luckily locked her in the house. Anyway, enough about us and our pets. Let's kick off. I'd love to come to you, Andrea, first, because you are our expert on consumer behaviour and why you think this pet boom is happening now.
It's really fascinating. We started tracking this in about 2015 and we called it Pets Over People, was the original kind of research phase. And we could see that in the West, mainly Western Europe and the US, millennials were delaying childbirth. So we had these record baby busts, but they still wanted companionship. And that kind of drove the initial pet boom of 2015, which I even look back to the old data. And that year alone in the US, $11 billion was spent on their pets, which is just a massive number. And of course, there was this rise in pet cafes, on-demand pet services. sports with pets, and Miss Claire Varga will tell you all about goat yoga at some point, and even doggy dating apps. There was Tindog and Dig. But if you kind of look cut to the pandemic, right, people are adjusting to new normals. They're spending more time at home. And for those who previously wanted that pet ownership, it wasn't possible with work and commute and life. And now they have that opportunity and kind of that ability. Also, another layer, as I'm sure, you know, we've talked about so many times in the other podcasts too, is we're really entering this touch-free era. And while consumers may be shying away from physical contact with each other, they really want these, you know, bonds and affection with other things. So that's why pets are really kind of growing in not only, you know, size, different types of pets that people are getting. Hello, ferrets on the rise. But of course, just ownership globally.
And I mean, I think obviously we've talked a lot on WGSN about the sort of emotions at the moment, which are things like fear and anxiety. And I think that it was interesting. I was in the park the other day. I've met a whole load of people, as I'm sure you have, Laura. With a dog, you kind of meet a whole cohort of people. And a guy just sort of out of the blue just said to me, I'm grieving. I lost my brother. I've got this pet. She's helping me through the grieving process. So I think there's a lot of that, isn't there, Andrea? Is really kind of people.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I don't want to make light of anyone's, you know, where they're at. But there was a meme that went around and kind of spread like wildfire globally. And it said, pets are the new furry Xanax. And it became kind of a joke. They are furry Xanax. And I think it just goes a lot. You know, people are we're in collective compound trauma. We're coming out of different places with the pandemic. Obviously, some are going back into lockdowns. And I think just something that, you know, is there to love unconditionally and to transfer that love and emotion. I mean, at the end of the day, even the coldest of hearts can't turn away a little nudge from a cat or a dog. So it's definitely provided some mental wellness relief for many people. And pet therapy, as we know, is so healing. And that's why it continues to transform regular lives pre-pandemic and hopefully post-pandemic as well.
So when we look to sort of this huge growth of basically pet ownership, there's obviously a whole sort of host of brands that are going to be tapping into that, right? So and a huge amount, I mean, it seems to be from mid-market all the way up to luxury. So Laura, as our kind of retail expert, I wondered what you're seeing out there and how brands are kind of responding to this growth of ownership.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think one thing that we've got to look at is not only has there been this massive rise in people owning pets, buying pets, adopting pets, but they also really want to spend money on their pets. And, you know, especially if you're a new owner, there's all these new products and services and tools out there that can really kind of help you bond with your pet, make your pet look good. So people are really investing in buying little clothes and accessories for their pets. So obviously Zara, at the kind of middle end of the market, launched pet clothing and accessories. But then recently we've had brands like Fendi have just unveiled a luxury pet travel collection. So a little like pet carrier bag, which actually retails for about 2,000 euros. It's got like a matching collar and a little kind of nylon dog coat you can buy with the little two F's on it and things like that. Badgley Mischka, who is a US luxury designer as well, they've launched a whole series of kind of canine looks. So they have like rainwear, holiday styles, novelty looks. And they recently announced that they're actually going to launch bridal wear for dogs. Bridal wear is a really important business for their company. And apparently the founders said that they are routinely asked to design something for the bride's dogs. So they've actually decided to kind of bring that into their business model. And they're going to launch things like little ring bearer bows, wedding bow ties, luxury wedding leads, that kind of thing. So there's like a huge wealth of you know, opportunities for product development. And then finally, just in the kind of product development space, I think what we've seen is this huge, huge shift towards people buying, you know, technology and really innovative products for their pets as we're kind of shifting to this idea of online care. So if you're going traveling or going out for dinner, you can still keep an eye on your pets. And that's where we're seeing this massive spike in things like pet cameras with motion sensors. You know, they have like night vision, they even have two-way audio so you can speak to the dog and that can kind of bark back at you, that sort of thing. And then finally we're seeing a huge rise in subscription services. So music and TV programs, which kind of you can switch on to help your dog overcome anxiety or loneliness or boredom. So Spotify and Amazon Prime now have playlists and TV shows made specifically for your pets, and these other kind of streaming services, Petflix, if you will. So there's this streaming service called Relax My Dog, and you can turn it on and basically your dog can go on like a virtual walk. So you can kind of position the camera at the height of the dog, and there's like a soundtrack which can help them chill and stuff like that. So all of this different kind of product innovation around basically pampering your pet, looking after your pet, and it's a huge area of development.
Wow. That's just like mind blowing, all those things. I can't get over the bridal wear. That's like quite something. I mean, talking about the sort of the fashion side of things, and just generally, I don't know if you must have all seen the meme in over the last year of that. I love it. I couldn't wear it. The Iggy the dog with 1 million followers. And I actually saw recently Lawrence King are bringing out a book in September called How to Make Your Dog Hashtag Famous. This sort of, there's an unstoppable rise here as well of the pet influencer, but that's not so new, is it, Claire? I think you've kind of seen this before, right?
Yeah, in my old world of active, so I used to work in the sports industry for WGSN, we saw so many, particularly outdoor pet influencers. I still follow them all. My favourite is Backpacking Kitty, who is this beautiful cat who basically goes with her owner kayaking, you know, climbing mountains, all in her little backpack, just, or sitting on a mountain bike. And we would go to all the big sports trade shows, and these pet influencers would turn up, and they were absolutely mobbed, you know, people completely ignoring the climbers who'd gone up Everest, just heading straight for these pet influencers. And so many brands were signing them up. And as I say, they were just hugely popular.
I guess, I mean, it's always been a popular marketing ploy, you know, from Dulux to Andrex. We've always like loved a puppy or a dog. But how's it evolving? How is it different now? Because obviously social media is so much more sophisticated nowadays. What's different about the pet influencer today?
Well, I think it is evolving, and in a good way, because I think what we're seeing, and particularly within beauty, is that pets are being used much more authentically. So beauty brands such as Urban Decay, The Body Shop, Smashbox, they've all used pet sort of brand ambassadors in the past, specifically for their Instagram campaigns. And, you know, pets and beauty content are literally the perfect clickbait. You know, they add a lot of value, they drive engagement, and images of, pet ambassadors are much more likely to be shared. So, you know, there's a real reason to have them. They add a lot of value. But now what we're seeing is that pets are being used much more purposefully. So in beauty, they're being used to, say, highlight a cruelty-free product or to protest against animal testing. So it just feels more authentic, and it sort of resonates more with the brand. They're actually picking, ambassadors that represent their values much more, rather than just going for that sort of clickbait appeal.
And that, I just want to move to you, Andrea, about that, because that's something we're seeing just generally across the board, isn't it? Sort of a need for transparency with brands, and presumably the Gen Z, the millennials are some of the pet buyers. So they really, brands really need to be very clear and honest in using pets and things.
100%. And I think beauty always does a really good job of leading this kind of movement around transparency, accountability, especially, you know, now post, you know, in the current stages of the pandemic where we are currently living in, where people are really turning to these influencers or brand ambassadors for education and also entertainment. And I think, you know, the pets kind of hit that beautiful intersection of, you know, it is entertaining to watch a puppy, a cat, everything. I share probably way too much Instagram videos with Claire and Laura where I'm just sending animal videos. It's slightly neurotic at this point. But also you can use pets in a way that, again, it feels authentic, because at this point everyone is someone owning one or feeling a connection to one. And I think on the flip side too, on a very kind of stranger different level, we all have digital fatigue. We're all staring at faces, right? We're on Zooms constantly, or Teams or whatever you're using. So to just to have that kind of furry, you know, mind break, as we say, it is a nice distraction from the visual clutter. And from a completely strategic perspective, it's a nice way for brands to break that digital noise if they're doing it correctly, if they're not doing it just to kind of get the social, you know, clout, but truly there's a brand action or narrative behind it, I think is the most important thing.
Another thing we've been talking about a lot at WGSN is with the past year, is this sort of need for self-care and the growth in self-care, and also certainly in the beauty category, sort of looking after yourself at home and taking beauty home. How is this being mirrored in pet care, Claire? Because I've read that by 2025, the pet care market is forecast to be worth $200 billion.
That's absolutely true. It's astonishing, really. But I think, pet beauty has opened up this whole new frontier for beauty and wellness. It has been bubbling away for a while. It's sort of been there, as Andrea mentioned. You know, we talked a while ago about goat yoga was something that we highlighted as one of our rewilding sort of wellness trends. And it is without doubt the one trend I've been interviewed most for in my 10 years at WGSN. Everybody just wanted to know about goat yoga. But I think what we've seen, and it's mirrored what's happening in beauty, is that pet care during the pandemic took on a new importance. It moved from something that was quite frivolous and sort of a bit jokey to something that genuinely became important and helped support well-being for both humans and animals. So, you know, during the pandemic, people became much more aware of the importance of the roles pets played in their lives. And I think that talks back to what you mentioned, Bethan, about the guy that you met in the park and was talking about how it was helping him through things. But we've realised that we rely on our pets for so much. And during lockdowns, you know, they were there for comfort. They were there for companionship. They even added structure and routines to our day. And that's something that was happening in beauty as well. So the other thing that we saw is that as we were all becoming much more invested in self-care and sort of upping our beauty games and changing our regimes, people started to extend that to their pets' health and their pets' grooming needs. You know, they were putting their pets' needs on par with any other family member because that's how they see them. So they were investing in like premium beauty products and treatments for their dogs and just looking for exactly the same sort of things as they would for themselves.
I think there's also that thing of people sort of sending more gifts over this period because everybody's been, you know, out of touch. And I know I certainly bought my partner's sister a fancy Aesop pet shampoo for her dog, because I was just like, oh, didn't know they did that, let's send that over. So it's sort of more room for gifting, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's nice, and Andrea alluded to it earlier, you know, people are a little bit fearful about interacting with other people. Everybody was a bit touch starved as well during certain phases of the last year. And, you know, a lot of the treatments and things that you can do with your dog, they involve touch. And, you know, so interacting with your pet in that way filled a lot of that touch void that people were feeling. And it does make a really nice gift to somebody as well.
I wonder if you've got any beauty brands listening to this, sort of what sort of products and treatments should they be thinking about developing? Because we're not talking about blue eyeshadow, are we, for cats and dogs?
No, although those things do exist, bizarrely enough. But no, this is not about makeup and colour cosmetics. It's not about dress up. It's very much the way that we as humans approach beauty. It's about wellness and grooming. And I think a really good rule of thumb for brands is if it's important for us, it's important for your pet. So, you know, skincare has absolutely boomed during the pandemic, and it's also the fastest sector that's growing for pet beauty as well. So we're seeing things like products and beneficial treatments for face, nose and paws. So everything from leave-in cleansers with emollients that, you know, soften the skin folds and prevent chafing, or anti-inflammatory wrinkle balms that actually stop bacterial infections on paws or tackle canine acne. Who knew that was a thing? But then also hair care, you know, or coat care in this case, that's another area that's really booming. And we're seeing a lot of beautiful luxury pet shampoos and styling products that are using all the sort of micro encapsulation products that we'd crave for our own hair. And they basically bring together that sort of science and care. So, you know, as well as actually tackling things like fleas and enhancing coats, they also have lots of feel good things. But the thing that's really interesting, you've got brands like Mr. Fluff who are creating the, you know, the most beautifully designed products that we'd all be happy to have on the, you know, edge of our bath on show. They're absolutely gorgeous. And what's interesting, you mentioned Aesop, you know, all the established beauty brands are sort of looking at this and they're seeing that there is a demand. So they're applying their human expertise, as it were, and extending their product lines for pets as well. But I think, again, I think the other thing that I find really interesting is that people are looking for products that have the same properties and values in the products that they look for themselves. So if you're into clean beauty, you want clean beauty products for your dog. If you're, you know, you want sustainability and ethically sourced products, you're going to look for it. If you're using CBD, like so many people are, there's CBD products for dogs. And my favourite, which we discovered recently when we were doing our a report on the future of facial tools, is that gua sha and facial rollers for dogs are everywhere at the moment. They're definitely trending. And I hold my hands up. I did do a little experiment on Vera with this one and to see if she liked it. And she loved it. So, you know, and as I say, a good rule of thumb is if it's happening for us, it should be happening for your pets as well.
Actually, I'll plug that for any subscribers listening. The Healing as Habit webinar has a great little video of a cat having a pamper, which is well worth looking out for. Laura, have you pampered your dog in any way? Like, does any of this ring true for you, these products?
Oh, absolutely. She gets a bath every Sunday. She has, is it Kiehl's? She has some Kiehl's soap, yeah, which I wash her with. And then she goes to the grooming salon actually once a month because her claws get quite long and I'm kind of scared to cut them myself. And she absolutely loves going. Like she loves the lady that works in there. The lady who works in there is actually Hungarian. And obviously because Vizslas are Hungarian, so she speaks Hungarian to her. It's quite funny. I know, so funny, but yeah, no, she loves it. She really, really loves it. She loves being pampered and everything. She's got a little coat from Carhartt, and you can actually get a matching human one as well, so I might have to invest in that next season.
I mean, we've all been at home, as we've been saying, this is why we've all got pets. But clearly, there's a lot being written as well about separation anxiety because we're not leaving our pets. So I'm seeing a lot of kind of counselling opportunities there as well for people. But I wonder, Claire, am I reading that fragrance might be playing a role here to kind of even pet fragrances to calm and relax?
Yeah, and absolutely. And it's that mirroring of what's happening in the beauty industry as well. So functional fragrances, i.e. fragrances that do more than make you smell nice, have been something that's been gaining traction in the beauty industry. So they're designed to, you know, change your mood or lower cortisol. And we're seeing those sort of functional fragrances coming through for pet beauty as well. So the scents are not only to deodorize your dog or repel insects, which is important, but also to either calm them or just enhance their well-being. And they tend to use very natural, time-tested aromatherapy and essential oils. And they're also, again, it's that two-way process that they work on the owner as they're applying it, so that they it's part of their self-care as well. So I really like this idea of functional fragrances.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Certainly better than the smell of dog. I mean,
Well, there are some of the, if you don't even just want a functional fragrance, there are some of the most expensive fragrances out there for like really premium, high end, into the thousands of pound dog fragrance as well, with obviously amazing names like Paw Homme and Paw Femme, as in PAW. And there is one out there, which the name of it escapes me, but I know it's made with some very rare plant and water that's been blessed by a Pope as well. So if you really do just want to get rid of the smell of wet dog and have a few thousand pounds to spare, I definitely recommend going for that.
Wow, I bet someone out there is actually doing bespoke perfumes, right, as well, for a dog. Take your dog in and consult the dog and see what...
Yeah, there's gendered perfumes as well. So, as I say, if it's happening for us, it's happening for your pet.
Claire, are you sure that's not paw fumes, as you once told me?
I think there are paw fumes. I can't believe I missed that one out.
She's the queen of the pet, but I got it from you. I was like, oh wait, every time Claire said it, I would just laugh so hard.
Oh, let's move on to, I mean, we are going to have to leave our pets at some point, because I think quite a lot of companies are going to look at hybrid working models. It looks like mixing up working from home, the office. Laura, is there? Does it look like things are going to change in terms of sort of office policies? How are we going to? What's the future look like for kind of workplace and pets?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, a lot of the circumstances under which people got pets over the last 18 months have obviously been very unusual. So I think these kind of bonds that people have with their animals are very unusually strong, very much exacerbated by the past year. And I think people are going to have a lot of anxiety around kind of leaving their pet when they return to work. So as we do, you know, go back to the office, go back to work, I think there needs to be a shift in kind of corporate plans to allow dogs, or to allow for more flexibility with employees who do want to stay remote to be with their pets, even when everyone else is back in the workplace. I saw a statistic recently that said 72% of C-suite executives in the US expect that more workplaces will be pet friendly after the pandemic. And along with this, I think this idea of sort of paternity leave, or people being able to have time off work when you adopt an animal, when you get a pet. And I think it's this kind of step towards just more kind of thoughtful strategies, you know, being implemented by companies towards their employees. So taking, you know, 2-day leave if you adopt a dog or a cat. There's already a retailer in Brazil called Pets with a Z. So they are actually a pet retailer, but they give this benefit to all of their employees across all 140 of their stores across Brazil, where essentially you can have time off if you show that you're adopting a dog or a cat, just to kind of, you know, allow you to build bonds and help your animal settling comfortably. So I think we're definitely going to see a shift towards this kind of idea of more hybrid working and more kind of thoughtful and forgiving strategies around, pet ownership.
That is fantastic to hear, actually, because it is like, I mean, gone through the journey myself, you do need that time off to settle a little puppy or a rescue dog in. I mean, they're not just for Christmas, right? It's not a small undertaking. And what about away from the workplace? What about leisure? Because I am discovering that a lot of shops have in the past, you know, don't allow pets. And I'm hoping, you know, every time I book a restaurant, I'm like, can you take a pet? You know, can the pet come? What are the signs, do we think? Maybe we'll go to Andrea about this. Do you see anything? I don't know what it's like in LA with pets. Is it like, can you take your pooch everywhere? I mean, in England, it's very much the pub is fine. But other than that, you have to really ask.
I would say the US is probably more advanced in this area, you know, particularly the West Coast. You can take, you know, dogs, cats, pigs into most restaurants in LA, Seattle, kind of the West Coast. It's really pet friendly. And I think it's just, again, pets are embedded in our lifestyles and people see it at that. There's actually some restaurants in Seattle that have a pet section for people that do have allergies. So you can make a reservation and say, you know, I will need the pet section. It's not actually on the patio. It's in the restaurant, which I always find so funny. And then there's so many new ways of finding these retailers now from, you know, just an e-com and search perspective. You can type in certain words now and it'll give you lists of what is pet friendly around you. You can geolocate your Google map to where you can find pet friendly establishments, whether it's, you know, even beauty salons that will now let you take your pet in. But I think what's really interesting is what's happening in Europe. And in Europe is really, there's a town in Italy called Lucca, and it mm-hmm. is really trying to be what they're calling Europe's first, you know, smart pet city. Again, coming back to kind of the smart city of the future. But, you know, there's specially designed areas that are going to have walkways for pets. So again, just like a bike lane, there will be a dog walking lane or a cat walking lane, apps for locating water, finding water, I mean, even kind of pet therapy programs. So I think this is really a true indicator that while we can laugh and make jokes about our paw fumes and our funny kind of different splurges that we're all making for our animals, they truly are part of our family. And I really think that, again, as childbirth declines in certain regions, you will see more of these animals becoming kind of a precious commodity, a precious aspect of the home. And civic mm-hmm. planning and roads and everything, and even transportation, pets on subways and things like that will follow. So it's kind of the first yeah. iteration of the pet friendly city is here to stay.
I mean, Laura, in terms of retail, I know certainly there was a time, wasn't there, in women's wear where there'd be an area for boys to sit, the men to sit on a sofa while the women shopped. We had that kind of thing happening in the retail space. Do we see a little something happening, do we think, in sort of retail or in malls maybe where there's a creche for your dog? Or
yeah, I mean, it's already a thing in Korea, in South Korea, in Seoul. They have dog lounges in shopping malls already. That's very popular there. But I think increasingly that kind of thing is going to be very mainstream, especially because of the pandemic. I think a lot of people have really enjoyed shopping outside, and a lot of malls and mall operators and department stores are really concentrating on kind of bringing the retail offer, bringing the mix into the outside space. So obviously with that comes, you know, the ability to bring your dog shopping a lot more. And I think, you know, people are increasingly comfortable with bringing pets to outdoor stores and events and patio seating in restaurants and that kind of thing. And I think, you know, that people are going to seek out venues that are by default pet friendly. I saw something Airbnb posted the other day that they've seen a huge spike in bookings, which are over 28 nights long. But 99% of those people who'd made these long bookings all had a dog or a cat request to stay with them. So it's really coming through in travel and in holidays and in leisure. So, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we're going to see it permeating into lots of different markets.
And Claire, that's presumably, you know, a spa weekend away with your pooch. That's going to be something people will be able to do.
Absolutely. We don't need to go anywhere with our besties anymore, because we'll be going with our furry besties. We've been tracking, you know, as much as we're doing home treatments on our pets, we've been tracking an increase in professional treatments and sort of luxury spa therapies becoming a lot more popular too. And as well as dedicated pet salons, to what you're saying, we're seeing human salons extending their beauty and wellness treatments to cats and dogs too. So we're seeing things like facials, spa baths, aromatherapy massages, you know, eye whitening, and of course, pedicures. They're everywhere. So, I mean, there's an amazing, the Pooch Dog Spa in Hampshire here in the UK offers a 7-hour spa package of rejuvenating treatments for your dog. And it includes like an ozone spa bath that uses green tea and aloe vera and a full body therapeutic mud mask. But I have to say my fave is the couples treatments. So lots of side-by-side treatments. Again, you know, if you're thinking about people going back to salons, they're still quite nervous, but very happy to go with their pets. So you get to have side-by-side treatments. Some of them even have complete with matching robes for your owner and pet. And, you know, you can have a blowout, a massage, and again, manicures and things. So yeah, definitely. It's what you're sort of seeing in retail, what you're seeing in travel is also extending into sort of professional beauty treatments as well.
I wonder if we could end, I'm going to throw this at you, we'll see if it works or not, on a kind of moonshot type ending, whether there's something you think that you personally feel like you'd like for your pet that isn't out there yet.
Well, as much as there are lots of face treatments, I am literally dying for somebody to do a little like sheet mask. And I'm sure they are out there, but I would just love a little sheet mask, a little cat-sized sheet mask for Vera. Don't think Stan would have it, but yeah, that would be my sort of ideal. I don't know why that popped into my head, but that's what popped into my head.
I've seen some nice snazzy gold ones for people, so it could be a really glam one, couldn't it?
I just think it would be brilliant. And you know, you can get the ones that have got printed characters on. So you can, you know, you can get cat ones for humans. I'd quite like to put a human one on my cat, probably. I'll stop talking.
anyone for another fantastic, pet-tastic idea?
As someone whose parents have moved out of the UK and now live in Europe, and obviously with the UK now not being part of Europe, it's really difficult to travel with your pet these days. So yeah. I'm trying desperately to get my dog across to France where my parents live, and it's really, really hard. So I'm kind of looking for like a pet travel agent who can advise me on how I can travel with my pet in a post-Brexit landscape. If there's anyone out there listening, please hit me up.
That's a great idea.
A pet concierge.
Yeah, pet concierge.
I'm now even more embarrassed. I'm now even more embarrassed by my cat sheet mask suggestion.
Don't be. I love it.
I think that could be a top trend for 2022. Andrea, anything, or are you you got anything spring into your head?
And nothing at the top of my head. I'm just more, I would love more of the personalized stuff. I'm a big fan of that. You guys know how I'm obsessed with Penelope am, and I actually got a little Stoud gift from Christmas of Penelope's face. So I'm all for it. The more personalized products, the better. I don't think I stand alone in this. And if anyone makes the cat mask, please send it to Claire so we can do the research and, of course, trial and test it.
And so, like an eager puppy, we found this was a topic that could clearly run and run, but we'll leave it there for now. Thank you to my colleagues and fellow pet lovers, Andrea Bell, Claire Varga and Laura Saunter. If you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find plenty of reports covering the pet boom on the site, ranging from luxury pet products and pet toys on lifestyle and interiors, ones to watch pet beauty brands on beauty, and even a cute pets on vacation print and graphics report on fashion. Should you want to find out how to subscribe, head over to WGSN.com to discover how you can access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries, and that ranges from food and drink, lifestyle and interiors to beauty and fashion. You can subscribe to the show on all major podcast platforms, and if you like what you've heard, why not leave us a rating and review on iTunes? I'd also like to thank our podcast producer, Roland Bodenham, and we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode. So until then, stay well and healthy, and we'll see you next time.